What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Sequester recap for episode 5. I'm your host, Turn Armstrong, and joining me today, very excited to have my good friend Ovi with me here today. Ovi, how you doing?
Doing good. How are y'all doing? How was the holiday season? Did it treat you well?
It was great. I ate a lot of macaroni and cheese, and then I died a little bit on the inside, and then I came back. I made it through.
Yeah.
I just ate too much. That's all it was.
I think that was everyone. I think I collectively gained probably 5 to 10 pounds just in like a weekend. So yeah. I'm not hating it, you know. But
you bulk up a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, it's bulking season. I've been telling myself that for like 2 years. Yeah. But every time I take, you know, 2 servings, bulking season.
There it is. Also with me tonight is Bobby. How you doing, Bobby?
I'm good, Taryn. You know, I've actually had a very good Christmas as well. Since the last time I was on the podcast, I've had a baby. I've gotten engaged. So it's been the whole nine yards. 2020 might have sucked, but there was a good end to 2020 for me.
Man, you've accomplished like almost as much as me with my mac and cheese.
You know what? It was very close. Very close. Yeah, I mean, I got a 2-month in there. Penelope, she's awesome. So we're very happy, very blessed. But as far as this episode, I was so pissed. I spent all day looking for a veil to put over my head in honor of Brent to do this for him. I know I see him in the chat. I'm so bummed, man. I looked everywhere. I don't know where to find these. I'm, you know, a guy. I can't find these anywhere. I'm looking in the wrong places. So just think about it like this. I did it for you. I tried for you, Brent.
You know, we wanted to bring the veil energy, but I think that look, you just can't replace Brent on the podcast, I guess. You just need nobody else can get the veil working. So we are here. We're going to talk about episode 5 of Sequester season 4. And of course, this is the episode where Brent is going to meet his end here as we get through this. But first, we get into the episode and we are first going to need to see that Jacob and Spencer are going to return from the previous battle match. This was fun for me because I was watching this obviously live on Twitch. And when Jacob and Spencer ran out, I thought that was the reveal for who came back from the jury. And so I was like, what? That's not Muna. Wait, hold on. That's Jacob. Jacob was voted out? No, he wasn't. What's going on? Oh, battle match. They both ran out of the same place. I was just like, oh, okay. But they come back. Everyone pretends that they're happy to see Jacob back. He's like, I just want a raise of hands. Who's happy to see me back? I was hoping that somebody would like essentially pull the Shireen and just be like, nah, not me, actually. Just willing to just go out there. Ovi, were you happy with the battle match result here with Jacob and Spencer on their way back in?
You know, I mean, I think it's like it's a mixed feelings, but also I guess I might feel something for people who get voted out and try to battle back, you know, in. And I got to give it to Spencer. I mean, you try to take him out as many times as you want in this game and just keeps coming back. And I think we see it time and time again. So, yeah, I think I do wish that we would see maybe one of the eliminated players actually go out, because we've only seen drag players go out. But also, I think it's like it changes the whole dynamic. That's what makes Sequester is that you can drag somebody out and there's a threat of that. So if you target somebody, you have to worry that they might drag you back. So it's been a toss up. But I have enjoyed watching, you know, people try and take out Spencer and him basically saying, no, I'm going to take you out over and over again. I don't know how long it's going to work for him. We will see. But it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah. The guy keeps backing up what he's putting out there. You know, he keeps on getting put in. and doing mm-hmm. what he says. You know, so a lot of people go in saying, oh, you know, it's going to be hard to take me out. And then they're out the very first time they go into a battle match. And he's been backing it up every single time. So my hat's off to him. You know, even though there's people out there that hate him, and I understand for certain reasons why, there's, you know, a lot to also like about this guy and the fact that he backs up the what talk he's putting out there.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We'll see how long I guess he can last with it. We're also going to see that I had a theory two weeks ago that you know, we saw Jay West and Muna both seem to have reactions in the balloon popping, popping. Jay West celebrates, Muna cries, and I thought Muna's crying because she got in. And Jay West is celebrating because he hasn't looked at the paper yet. And there it is. Muna is going to return to the game. Me personally, I feel like there were a lot of great options. I don't think I would have been upset with anybody, but I was definitely pleased that we're going to see some more Muna, especially this Muna and Jacob sort of relationship. I'm very intrigued by what's going to happen there. But Muna is going to come back in. What does she say? If you come at me right, I'm going to come at you left. Or did I get them mixed up?
Something like that.
Yeah. And you have to, if you're going to put me down, you have to make sure you don't miss. Spencer was like, well,
she's too good at it. I can't.
We can't match her, Taryn. But no, I was kind of bummed though that they didn't show Jay West's reaction to opening it up and realizing that was just the giveaway, the LOS. Like, I felt like that was a missed, you know, opportunity for them. We got Muna's reaction and them asking, is that for you to come back? That was cool. But I wanted to see Jay West. I wanted to see his reaction to realizing, oh, wait, I'm not getting to get back in.
Yeah. What he did win is the ability to will an LOS to a player in the game. And so, of course, he's going to will it to Muna, right? Like, this to me was the first of in my opinion, some balance issues that occurred in this episode, where I think that you should anticipate that if you have people in the jury, not necessarily all the time, they're going to get along, sure. But most of the time, they're going to be able to bond with each other and they're going to want to support each other. And at the very least, even if they don't get along, it makes sense to be like, hey, guys, let's just agree whoever finds the LOS, you know, gives it to the mm-hmm. wills it to the person that enters the game because it's beneficial for all of us if we make that agreement. So I think most of the time you have to kind of anticipate this is just going to go to the person that's heading back into the game. And on top of that, when they have immunity for that particular round, now it's like, okay, two rounds basically of immunity for the person coming back in. And that was the first thing that was like, okay, this is a little. I get it. I mean, this is very, very Extinction Island, Edge of Extinction. I always call it Extinction Island. Very Edge of Extinction going on right here. We have Ghost Island going on, right? That's the room of Sanctuary. I don't remember. Luxury Row, I think is what it's called. And then we also have some Edge of Extinction going on. Bobby, how did you feel about the LOS blend?
See, I wasn't a big fan of it because I thought that if they're going to give it to someone, it should be someone that's not in the room with them. Because one, there's a little added incentive to give it to that person or to agree, hey, let's just all give it to whoever comes back into the game, because you could just totally get away with that in the game right there. I think that it should have been given to someone who's been in the house. And also, if she's going to have safety basically coming into the house and get to pick nominations and all that, or, you know, pairings and all that, then she shouldn't be able to get an LOS as well. I just feel like it's just too much power. You give her basically three big powers going back into the game. I just thought it was too much.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with Bobby. I'm all for, like, when somebody comes back into the game, give them something so that way they're just not immediately thrown out. And I think Sequester is an interesting way because there's really not as many alliances you see in other types of games. So everything, it's easier for somebody to come back, reintegrate themselves. But then when you add in basically three powers on top of each other, it allows them to do a really big shift in the whole game. So I do wish if she just got power, she wouldn't be able to get the LOS, or vice versa. If she did, maybe not give her the power of being safe this round, but give her the LOS potentially.
Yeah, exactly. I think, I mean, in general, I'm usually not a huge fan of buybacks, mostly because it's either a revolving door or you have to make it harder for it to be a revolving door. But the reason it would be a revolving door is because, you know, somebody coming back, especially from a jury, is somebody that you just basically need to take out of the game. Most of the time, they're going to be able to win a jury vote because they've spent time bonding in the jury, you know, talking about Edge of Extinction. You know, we've seen that play out to some degree, that they either know exactly what they need to do, or they've bonded with people, or you know, really it's, you know, they're up against one of the greatest of all time and they didn't spend enough time bonding with everyone on Extinction. I don't know. I listen to the X interviews, but it's a landmine in the game for players that everybody has to agree. We have to take this person out because they know exactly what the jury wants, and this is hugely threatening. And the balance becomes a little shifted, right? And so the players try to compensate for that by revolving dooring the person that comes back in. And so you go, we're going to make it even more unbalanced then. So you can't do that. And they're like, okay, well, wait, and then we'll do it. But we're going to give them extra powers. It's like at some point, you know, something's got to give. And so, I think that Sequester is a game that is very fluid, and that's the benefit, you know, for all of the, you know, potential criticisms I'll have of this episode. I think the good thing about Sequester is that, unlike a show like Big Brother or Survivor, this is one episode, and in the next episode, it could be incredible, because every single round is different and anything can happen at any point. You know, there's not as much long-term damage in the game of Sequester, in my opinion, that can happen with these kinds of things. So, for as much as like this episode was potentially like a little bit like, oh, okay. You know, we can move on from here and still have fun. In general though, the returning player thing, not the biggest fan of it. I know Ovi, you probably were a big fan of it for a portion of time, and then were like, maybe I'm not sure about it afterward.
you're right. And I think one thing I think is, like, again, I like having some sort of buffer for a returning player. However, I think there's something to be said that when a player returns, they have to integrate themselves back into the game. They have to be social. And I think this amount of power allows them to be so, I don't want to use the word upfront, but so aggressive in their gameplay, because they're able to call out somebody, control the vote, then also not worry about the next vote because they have an LOL sale as well. So they don't really have to try to reintegrate them. They have the ability to basically take two people back to back out of the game and just do a power move. So I don't know. I think I would like to see them play a more social way, and there's no negatives. I'm being super aggressive coming right out of the bat, if that makes sense, because of these powers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think someone in my chat last night said she might as well have just gotten friendship bracelets here. what are we doing? What we're talking about here with friendship bracelets is that Muna is going to get the LOS, and on top of that, we are going to get into the next twist, the next round here, and the round is going to be pairs again. Didn't we just do that? Wait, what? This is, again, I was like, there were just a few decisions that I was a little bit like, wait, we're doing pairs again? Really? And I was like, okay. I mean, that's a bit repetitive, but all right. Oh, wait, Moon is choosing the pairs. Oh, that's okay. That's kind of my biggest compliment of the previous episode was how inconvenient the pairs were for everyone. Moon chooses. And the pairs will battle match each other when voted out. Oh, okay. What are we doing here?
You knew as soon as they read the rules for this, you knew, okay, well, she's just going to put Spencer and Brent together, and then one of them's going to go home, so they'll all be happy. And no offense to Brent, but Spencer's been a beast so far, so it's probably going to be Brent going home. Like, literally, as soon as they read the rules, I was like, so this is Brent's, you know, gone episode. This is his out episode. I was like, gosh, I'm so bummed. The whole time I was watching, I was like, maybe there's some hope. And I'm watching this just as she announces that, just like I thought in my head, I was like, she's going to do Brent and Spencer. Boom. I'm going to do Brent and Spencer first. So I was like, okay, well, it's going to happen. It's over. Like, this sucks. But it is what it is.
Yeah. It was tough. And it was, you know, I don't want to skip too ahead, but it was, you know, it was Brent was trying to basically fight for just his life because Spencer was trying to get them both in the battle match the way it looked like how he was playing this whole round. And poor Brent, I felt he's spinning his wheel that whole round. And I don't know, I thought it was kind of unfortunate. If you really want Spencer out in this round, you would actually put him against some other bigger player, because with his track record, you know there's a strong ability for Spencer to come right back into the game.
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing is, Muna eventually is going to talk about this, that she actually was like, I kind of want Brent to go. I kind of would prefer to see Spencer stay, which I thought was very interesting. And I'm definitely intrigued as to, you know, well, I guess I'm not super confused as to why we've just, I mean, when everybody in the game at some point or another is like, I don't trust Brent. I got to get him out of here. You know, eventually you just got to accept that that's probably why. That's there's just something there. So you guys are completely right. The second the twist is announced, really, you pretty much know what's going to happen. That's my biggest critique. I actually, you know, for what it's worth, I, you know, in terms of like, who could this twist have impacted, that is the most unfair? I don't think this was unfair necessarily. Brent and Spencer were the two people at the bottom the most. They were the least connected. They were the least protected. If anyone is going to get screwed by a twist, it should be the people that were probably, you know, knocking on death's door in the first place, right? So from my perspective, I'm not like okay, the outcome wasn't that terrible. It's mostly for me, just the episode was just very like, we kind of knew what was going to happen for most of it, right? It was a very straightforward episode, mostly because of this drag twist, this sort of you know, battle match twist. How Sequester has worked to this point, at least this season, is that every episode basically consists of like three major parts, right? The first part is the round, the voting part. The second part is the dragging, the battle match choosing, and then the third part is the battle match itself. And I mean, what has sort of, you know, even though the voting portion of the game has been kind of repetitive for the last few episodes, I mean, if you think about it, this episode, they voted out Spencer. Previous episode, they voted out Jacob to get Spencer. The episode before that, they voted out Spencer. The episode before that, they voted out Natalie accidentally because they were trying to vote out Spencer. And so, you know, when you spend four episodes doing the same thing in the voting round, you kind of need the extra stuff to keep it exciting. And that's why Sequester, I think, is still exciting, even when it's the same process time after time, is that each one of those rounds was made interesting because of the drag, because of the battle match. In episode two, when they accidentally vote out Natalie, it's because they're throwing votes because they're worried about the battle match. In episode three, Brent versus Spencer, the big key, the big hinge to that was the battle match argument. Episode four, they even spent half the episode on the battle match pick, which I also thought, you know, took the pacing off a little bit. But I think the main point here being that when the voting round is a foregone conclusion, there is no battle match. And also, it's kind of an uneven playing field a little bit. You know, you're kind of just kind of waiting for the battle match. And then once you see the battle match, you're like, oh, so Spencer's going to win this one.
Yeah, exactly. It was like we're just waiting for the inevitable. Like, it would have been at least a little bit better if, you know, Spencer got to choose someone and Brent got to choose someone, just like we saw last round. That would be a little more repetitive. You know, we just saw that happen. But anything's better than just saying, okay, well, these two are paired. They're going to be the ones nominated. Here you go. And here's what's going to happen. Like, I just thought there needs to be some kind of other twist to it, something that drew people in, making you feel like, okay, maybe there's something different, or maybe, you know, they're able to give out a power or something, then there's something to barter or something. There was just nothing. It was nothing to barter, nothing to change anyone's minds. Everyone knew what they were going to do. As much as they say they had, you know, optimism going another way, we all know there was no way they were going to change that vote. It was too perfect. So there was just nothing there, nothing to sink your teeth into.
Yeah. If I could propose the smallest tweak I could It's just this tiny little tweak. It doesn't require anything else, right? The tweak would be Brenton, Spencer are voted out. They then have to choose one of the other pairs to battle with.
Yes.
And I get it. Maybe, you know, the schedule needs to be a certain way. Only one person can leave. That's fine. It's a four-person battle where it's every man for themselves, and the person that comes in last place is eliminated. It can even be the same battle match. You can time it if you need to go two at a time, or you can just have four at the same time, and the last person that gets back to the jersey last loses. I think that would be a more exciting battle match as well.
That would have been perfect.
But think about the ramifications of this, right? Because you have to choose a pair. You can't individually choose two members. Now the pairs matter a lot more for beyond just that particular voting round. I'm imagining a scenario where Brent and Spencer go to Natalie and they say, "Hey, Natalie, if you vote for us, we'll expose it and we'll drag you and your partner." She was partnered with Billy, right?
Yeah.
So Natalie goes to Billy and she says, "Brent and Spencer are going to drag us. Please don't vote them out." And Billy's like, "I don't care. I'm ready. I'm going to go. I don't care. I'm going to vote them out. I need to vote them out. Who else am I going to vote? I'm not going to vote out Josh. I'm not going to vote out. No, I'm voting them out. I don't care if they drag us." And Natalie's like, "Please, no, come on." And then Natalie has to go back to Brent and Spencer. And she has to be like, "Oh my God, Billy really is. She's going to vote you out, but I can't stop her. Please don't drag us. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to vote for you." And they vote different ways. And now it's like, are they going to drag those two, or are they going to go somewhere else? Right. Automatically you've got people on their teams fighting each other, having to agree on which way to vote. They have to vote strategically. Should they separate their votes in order to be able to pull off the, "Hey, we didn't vote, both vote for you. Don't drag us both in." Or should they try and put two votes on someone and escape the thing entirely? I don't know. There's a lot of strategy there that that could have been mined, and a lot of, like, I think meaningful drama that could have been implemented with that sort of thing. And it's just the smallest little tweak.
Damn, Taryn, you should be a writer for this stuff. That was perfect. That was perfect. I couldn't have thought of that better than you just did. That was perfect. Now, I completely agree with you. One small tweak like that, just one small tweak. This was just too predictable. It was too easy. There needed to be more. And you want to keep these people interested. You want to have them come back. We just had a 2-week layoff. Give us something to really bite our teeth into. Show us, you know, this is sequestered. This is why you can't trust people. And this was just kind of a subpar round. I just felt like it was a bad way to come back from a 2-week break.
Yeah, no, I think that's, you know, Taryn, you put a good point. I think there needed to be a double header, something like another twist in it, whether you wanted to do it in the final round, in the sense that, like, you get to choose a person, or even in the voting round. I would have enjoyed if they put something that switched it up, that, I don't know, had somebody, you have the ability to vote for somebody or ability to cancel someone's vote, you know, something of that nature, things that you could kind of at least give the players a way to juggle their way out of the game or stay in the game. But yeah, I think it's, you know, I think we saw the response to this episode a little bit more, because yeah, people are coming off a 2-week break from Sequester. They're enjoying it. It's the first episode of the new year, so I think there's high hopes for it. And that's not to say it wasn't, you know, a quality episode, but I think people were just disappointed in a way. It basically, you knew what was going to happen in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah. And we're used to having that kind of like uncertainty toward the end of the episode of, even though we know the outcome of this vote, for the last four episodes, it's Spencer. We don't necessarily know who he's going to choose for the battle match, and we don't know what the outcome of the battle match is going to be. So it's still very unpredictable, and, you know, rightfully so, because every episode, somebody not Spencer has been leaving. And so it's felt, you know, you're used to having that sort of tension and that question lingering. And so it was very jarring to enter an episode and be like, "Oh, this is already over." So that's, you know, that was, I think, the unfortunate part there. And I really do, I do feel it was the lack of the battle match pick that really killed the episode more than anything else. But I do think there is perhaps a larger discussion to be had about the nature of the battle matches themselves. You know, I think they are a double-edged sword. I think there's something really, really fun about them. And they're part of the reason why a lot of people love Sequester. But pretty much every season that I've seen, at least two, three, and four, they've had stretches of time where the same person gets voted out over and over. And those have been the weakest part of the season in each case. So, you know, I think that, you know, I'm again, discussions to be had about how do you fix that small idea, maybe make them immune after they win a battle match for a round. And you can't vote out the same person every round.
We've been a little unlucky, or I'd say Spencer's been a little unlucky, because each time he's gone in and tried to pick an LOS, like, hopefully his chances would have, he would have gotten an LOS, would have been able to play it, and then that way we wouldn't see a rehash of it all. Especially for this episode, I think it would have been really fun if we could have seen Spencer get that LOS the previous episode from winning it, coming back in, and then just using it, and then like, oh, wait, what do we do now? Because all the votes fell on them, essentially. There was no secondary plan.
Yeah.
I got a question for you. At the beginning of the episode, Jacob got to go first and pick the envelope. Yes. Did he pick the same envelope that that he would have picked? Did they both pick the same spot? Because if he would have gone first, man, we might have a completely different episode on our hands.
So I believe, so this was interesting. So Luxury Row comes into play. We have both Jacob and Spencer having won battle matches. And Jacob is going to enter first into the Luxury Row, and he is going to pick the first box, which is going to contain a power that he's going to be able to use in the future. Here, the power gives him the ability to block a battle match pick and choose his own replacement. It's very Diamond Power Vito-y. It's very much like, very much Diamond Power Vito, mm-hmm. where there are essentially two initial nominees, and he gets to remove one of them, only one of them. Only one of them is eligible for removal, the picked person, and replace them with a person of his own choosing. Now, this episode, he couldn't have used it because there was no pick. But I'm assuming that in future episodes, he basically has the equivalent of an LOS that gives him the ability to replace the person that he's going to choose from. But it does not mean that he is safe from a vote. So that is the difference between this and an LOS. Still very, very powerful tool for Jacob to have. It basically gives him the ability to vote however he wants, and if somebody picks him for a battle match, doesn't matter. I can't really see him using this on anybody except for himself. I don't think it really makes a lot of sense, unless you're toward the end of the game and it's about to expire, or you really need to make a bold play. It's so powerful that he doesn't even have to play it like before they pick him. He can just wait and let it happen. And he doesn't even necessarily have to tell anybody when he got it. So he doesn't have to be like, oh, I didn't save you, but you can just, oh, I didn't have it yet. I found it in a barn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think we're going to see him play it eventually. If it expires, by the time he'll play for somebody else, I think it's a like, great move that the jury are going to enjoy, because this jury seems to enjoy like some flashy moves. They like people, you know, just sticking it to other people. So I think we're going to see Jacob do this. This is a fun power to do. My only question is, so if he does that to somebody else, can he be put as a replacement, or both of them are covered at that point?
Well, I mean, so basically he chooses the replacement. So let's say, let's say Spencer is voted out next episode again. And let's say he chooses Muna again. If Jacob wanted to, he could be like, Spencer? No. You are going to battle Brendan. And then Spencer would be like, so Jacob could do that. And obviously Jacob could not be, is not, I mean, unless Jacob decided to put himself in the battle match, you know, I guess that's possible, but, so it's very, very powerful. And it could really be used to, it's essentially the power that Muna had this episode, but a little bit worse. He can basically, as long as he can control the majority vote, then he would have full control, if he wanted to, over who goes into the battle match. If he doesn't have control over the majority vote, then he can at least choose half of who goes in, if he wants to. So it's pretty powerful. I think that in general, I think this is good. I think it will depend on how it is handled in the edit. What I don't want is for the episode to go and then like it's very clear that Jacob is going to be chosen for the battle match, and Jacob is like, they're not gonna get me because I'm gonna put this person in. Like it needs to still be suspenseful. We need to be like, well, who's Jacob gonna put in? But we still need to know why he puts the person in. It's very tricky, but I think they can do it. So I'm loopy today, guys.
Yeah. No. I agree. I think, again, I love how Sequester, the whole team puts it on there, but there are certain points that I do wish, and I hope they take this edit, you know, well, same way they did with Jay West. I wish we got to see, like you mentioned, Bobby, we could have seen him, like his expression when he realized it wasn't the right, you know, ticket back to the game. So a little more suspenseful. That would be really cool to see, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there was a few different things that editing choices that they could have made this better in this episode. But, you know, they're trying new things. They've got this mm-hmm. new power in there. I like what they're doing, but it is a lot of power. So let's hope that it doesn't, you know, completely change the game too much. But it's one of those things we're just going to have to wait till it gets played and really find out.
It is funny to me that, you know, people in the minority have been going to Luxury Row over and over. And apart from Josh, who got the first LOS, they've been striking out there. But as soon as somebody like Jacob, who is very much doing well in the game, gets sent there on accident, he wasn't even supposed to be. It's just because he was linked to Spencer.
Yeah.
He comes back out with this big power. But Jacob has been very entertaining. He has lost a lot of his people, and so I'm definitely intrigued as to, you know, where he's going to go in the game. And with a power like this, I'm kind of expecting big things from Jacob. I'm kind of expecting, like, you know, use this power on Muna. Like is he gonna use it? Like, is he gonna make a big betrayal? Like, what's, I don't know. He keeps talking about, like, he's taking shots at Muna.
Yeah.
We heard Jacob talk about taking shots at Muna in the episode that Muna left, and he didn't take shots at her. She just left. And it was a little bit like, okay, I guess, I mean, it just happened. Like, I guess it's not going to, but now that she's back and we doubled down on it, I'm like, for sure, Jacob's going to take a shot at Muna, right, Ovi?
Yeah. Sorry. I just had a little sneeze right there. I think it's up in the air to see where he's going to really take a shot. I think one thing I mentioned earlier to somebody else, everybody in the diary room, they're just so fiery. Like, they're like, they're not like, yeah, they're my friend, I kind of want to work with. They're like, no, I actually hate this person. I can't wait to get them out. Like, they go right at them. I'm like, look, yo, like, this is crazy. Like, y'all just really come at each other. So I don't really know. I know they were pretty close before, but Jacob has lost a lot of allies. But at the same time, Jacob has gained so many allies. People just want to work with this man, and he does a wonderful job at it. But I'm just curious to see who's really going to take a shot at him. Because Muna right now, and I've really enjoyed her on this whole season, but she seems right now hell-bent on getting Spencer out, which Spencer also wants to work with Jacob, but also everybody else wants to work with Jacob. So right now, Jacob is in a pretty good position, and I don't know, and I'd like to hear y'all's thoughts. Who do you think would target him coming down the line?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that Jacob's in a good spot right now, especially with that power in his back pocket. He's got a lot of room to make moves, and with it not really backfiring on him right away, he can use that and leverage it into, you know, making some power moves to really display his game. I agree. I think Taryn, I think he's going to take the shot at Muna. I think it's going to come sooner rather than later. I think that he's going to make that move because now he has some, you know, leverage as to why he should be able to do it. You know, they had this blow up. She blamed him for things. It's time for him to make a big power move, and that would be a really big power move. And it can't backfire on him because he's got that power in his back pocket. I think he knows that she's the big ticket item. If he wants to really put a stamp on his game, he would get her out, and then if she tries to, you know, pull him for the battle match, he can just play his power and be like, nope, you're actually going to play this person. Then that looks like a great move. It looks like he made a huge move for his resume. So I think that there's a few factors as to why he, you know, he's going to be playing very confidently going forward. He, you know, he has Marcelo in his back pocket, who's, you know, a huge ally for him. I think there's a lot to his game that's going to be coming out in the next couple episodes because he has this in his back pocket. He has potential to make a big move without it backfiring on him.
Yeah, I mean, I think my read on Jacob's game right now is that it's hard to know because I still feel like I don't know exactly where Marcelo is. We set up the Jacob Marcelo connection in episode one, and it seemed like it was super, super tight. And I still feel like we've never come back to it. Like, I'm still like, how are they feeling right now? I have no idea. I don't think I've seen them speak outside of maybe last episode briefly, let alone about each other in the diary. I can't know for sure if that is still locked in, but assuming it's still locked in, right? Jacob has Marcello. That's super solid. He's got Natalie. That seems very solid at this point. He has Spencer to some degree. I don't know that Spencer would like be super loyal to Jacob by any means, but who else does he have? So I think he also now obviously has Muna to some degree. I don't really think he has Billy. Billy was obviously very okay with voting Jacob out. I think Billy minus Muna, maybe he's got that connection. Maybe she doesn't have enough other people. I think Billy would sooner turn to Josh than Jacob, but she may want both if Muna's not there. But I'd still, if I'm Jacob, I kind of prefer to just have Muna there than have to rely on Billy, who doesn't seem super into Jacob. Josh, I don't really know where Josh stands on Jacob. And Josh, I feel like, is potentially Jacob's biggest threat at this point in terms of like the people that he's not with. Because Josh seems to have people on his side, like Billy, like Natalie a little bit, like Marcello a little bit, like some of Jacob's closest allies also really like Josh. And that's kind of dangerous. That's exactly the kind of person, you know, Jacob, I've been talking about Jacob as he's the Cody Calafiori of this season. And you know, Josh is the, I don't know, maybe the Tyler, I guess the Brendan, they call it Brendan the Tyler, which makes sense. Josh is the ally to your allies that you need to cut because he's not your ally, so that they have nowhere to turn but to you. And I'm definitely curious to see if he's able to recognize that, because at least from what I can see, that seems to be what it is. And Josh does kind of have his own little thing brewing. And a lot of the people in the jury as well, I think, really like Josh. So Josh is definitely somebody that I have my eye on as well. I think he had a really good episode in this episode. And apart from the little error he made when he was like, don't worry about the LOS. Screw the LOS. Mm-hmm. I was like, ooh, didn't need to do that. Like, this vote is a foregone conclusion. We don't need to throw anything in there like that. And it seemed like multiple people definitely picked up on it right away.
Yeah, Josh is Enzo, by the way.
Yeah, yes, there you go. Somebody said that. Josh is the Enzo.
He's the Enzo.
But he's the Enzo that's not Cody's best friend. He's the Enzo that people wanted to see. That is self-interested in working against the interests of the main group.
Exactly. Josh is a scary player, honestly. You know, week one, people thought he was dead in the water. He didn't have any connections come in here. And he has just done, he's amassed a silent army, is what I like to see. Because no one knows other people are closer to him. But people, like, you see Billy in the confessional. She's like, I'm talking to Josh because I think he's the only person he can, you know, link with right now. You see Marcella saying, like, you know what, I didn't really vibe with Josh in the beginning, but right now he's my person, you know. So Josh is slowly but surely creating some strong allies, connections, and also, to your point, he's making some friends in the jury too. So I think Josh has a really strong ability to go far. And also, we saw from the first week to or I guess not week, but first episode, he doesn't mind trying to pull the trigger. So I do think he could be somebody trying to take out Jacob and some other big heads there too. I think Muna right now, though, Muna and Jacob are one of the biggest threats in this whole game. And I think that it would be scary for either of them to make it into the finals, because people might view them as a really strong players who made it through the whole way and want to give them the win. So I think Josh is going to see that and aim for one of them.
Yeah. I feel like Josh is like kind of what I maybe like, maybe in my opinion, my optimistic view of the player Ovi could have been if you had survived the first round. You know what I mean? Like, not the greatest start, but you, like, if you had been given some time to like work your way in, I feel like you could have had it, you know.
You flatter me, Taryn. Could probably be out next week. But thank you. I appreciate that.
I completely agree.
Or rewrite history like that.
Yeah. No, but I agree with you, but like I I see Josh as a very strong player in this game. To me, he's my winner pick. I think he could go very far in this game, and I think he has a lot of allies to help him get there. He's got the LOS in his pocket. He's got the ability to really socialize. We saw it early in the game. If that's not a winner's edit at the beginning where he's talking to Billy and Billy's like, he's looking me in the eyes. I can tell he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. Like, he's able to socialize with these people on another level while everyone else is battling and fighting and doing all this stuff. Him and Marcelo weren't the two people that weren't even talked about last time about going into the battle match. That's huge. That means mm-hmm. people trust you. Even the people that are on their way out don't have anything against you. They see you as someone that they can work with. So I completely agree with you, Ovi. I think that Josh is a power player. I think he has a real potential in this game to go far, and he's got the LOS in his back pocket. So as long as some crazy twist doesn't come up and screw up his game, I think we have a lot to desire from Josh's game. And it just like Taryn said, it's Ovi 2.0. Ovi could have just got past that 1 week. 1 week. I had you in my draft, too. I was so mad.
I'm sorry, Bobby.
It's not your fault. It's those idiots' fault.
Yes, and honestly, I would say do not discount where Muna is in this game. You know, Muna comes back in. She has an LOS. My top three, you know, front runners at this point are all people with powers, LOSs or, you know, whatever. But Muna, I think, cannot be understated how valuable. Not only is Muna the kind of player who, if she makes it to the end, will probably win anyway, because she's Muna. But she's also had time to spend with a decent amount of the jury, you know, four or five people from the jury, and bond with them, and they're willing her LOSs, and she also knows all of the information they have to give her, you know, all of their thoughts on, you know, who she can beat, who she might not be able to beat, if there's anybody she wouldn't be able to beat. And then she, on top of that, can use that information to her benefit by saying things like, hey, Spencer will win if he makes it to the end, even if he won't. Or, hey, Jacob definitely will win in the end, so make sure you take him out and not me. Or whatever it is, right? You can lie and make up whatever you want as long as you can try and make it believable. They kind of have to take it into consideration at least a little bit. So there's a lot going for Muna there. And just, you know, I don't know that we've been able to see it in this season so far. But I think that Muna is a more capable player than what we've seen in the show so far. She's one of the best players, I think that the Sequester minis have seen. And I think that if you think that like she's out of this game just because she came back in and she's trusting Jacob too much or whatever, I would say, don't underestimate her, because, she, I think, can be very dangerous in this game.
Yeah. I think she has like a really amazing quality about her that you don't see as much. A lot of people, they really employ it, that she's so articulate, but she doesn't mind putting you on the spot. And when she puts you on the spot, you see a lot of folks stumbling. We see in the conversations between her and Spencer, you can perceive it as when they get the upper hand, just the way she talks, brings it up. And then she's able to bring people to her side within the game. You know, you could argue outside of the game. I think she's maybe be polarizing. Some people feel some way or other way about it, but she's able to, within the game, bring people to her side just the way she speaks, especially with Sequester, where it's so fast-paced. What you matter means a lot, because you don't have enough time to dissect it. Not, you don't have like a week later on and be like, oh, did they tell me the truth? No, you have to, like, you have an hour or so. Mm-hmm. So
she has some real potential in this game. She, you know, came back. She's got a lot of friends on the jury that were rooting for her. I mean, you know, one of them gave her an LOS, so she's got that in her back pocket. People that are in the house, they're not going to be thinking that she came back with anything. She just got all that power, was safe last week. Who's going to think, okay, and on top of that, she has an LOS in her back pocket that she got from jury? Like, I wouldn't think that. Mm-hmm. So I think that she's got that in her back pocket. She's got, you know, her name. She's, you know, a huge name in this community, and she's playing very well. The biggest qualm I see for her is just her relationship with Jacob. Is that going to backfire? And if she calls out Spencer, is Spencer going to be like, you know, you still don't want to work with me? You're still calling me out? And he keeps getting put back in. I thought that was a big mistake on her part when she got back in and called out Spencer right away. She should have just been, hey, you know, it is what it is. You know, it's a fresh game. Let's start over. But she wanted to, you know, put her name out there and really, you know, show that she's Muna. She's not going to back down. And I'm totally for that. But for the game aspect, I think that this is now just proving to Spencer, okay, you're back in the game. I still can't work with you. And if I keep getting put back in, maybe I should just go after you still, because I've already taken you out once and you still don't want to work with me. You still hate me. I have to. So I think that's her biggest fault in this game.
Yeah, I think that, you know, again, we can talk through this decision. So she tells Jacob that she wants Brent to be the one to go over Spencer. That's interesting to me because Spencer seems like the biggest hurdle in her way right now, in her immediate future, right? Because, you know, Brent is somebody who probably will never drag Muna into a battle match, even if she stabs him in the back, just because, like, I think that at that point in the game, he's probably got enough other targets that he's going to be like, I'm not going to drag Muna. Are you kidding me? She's the queen. And so this is like, you know, Brent is like a free vote out for Muna to some degree. And then on top of that, Spencer is the exact opposite. Spencer is somebody that I would be concerned if I'm Muna that he's going to drag me every single time he gets voted out. And he tends to get voted out. So that's an issue, right? So this is the perfect opportunity for Spencer to leave where he can't drag her into a battle match. And despite this, she wants Brent to go over Spencer. Now, I don't know the reasoning behind that as of right now, but I think that with this decision, hopefully the fact that she wants it means that she's got some kind of plan. But I think the first thing she needs to do from this point forward is something with Spencer. She cannot just let this lie, because if things stay the same as they are, then Spencer will get voted out again and he'll drag Muna again. So she either needs to genuinely make up with Spencer or protect him somehow, right? Like, she's, something has to change for her, or I think she's not got a long time left in the game. Of course, she does have this LOS that she can use to protect herself from the drag. Maybe that's why she feels safe from Spencer, but it's not something that I would want to have to use so quickly when you then are going to be very exposed moving forward from that. So we'll see.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think her move should have been, because it seems like some of her allies want Brendan out, I think it should have been to pair Spencer / Brendan. You have two strong people, and I like Brendan a lot. Don't get me wrong. He's been really fun to watch, and I'm curious to see both him and Billy to see how far they go within the game, because I think they're two people who let other people do the dirty work, Billy more so. But yeah, it was unfortunate. And I mean, kudos to Brent. I really think, again, I like that, you know, shit on Brent a little bit, because I like seeing everything he's thrown at, like, BB players come back at him sometimes, just karma. But I think he did really as good as he could have when his, you know, his ass was on the fire, because they were really trying to, he had Spencer as a partner, and unfortunately Spencer made some fatal flaws right in the beginning of the round that took Brent right out of there. So, but I think he played that really well, as much as he could have. And I think Brent is the type of person who was kind of on a boat by himself. I think for Muna just coming right back into the game, that could have been a great ally to have on the side right there. So yeah, in my head, I think it was a misfire.
Potentially. Yeah. So I think my B tier here, in terms of potential winners, I would have, I think Brendan is still in there. Brendan, I think, has been kind of on the decline in the past couple of episodes. I think that he was in a really good spot, but it was not a very long-term spot. He was in that spot where, like, he was trusted by the majority, he was trusted by the minority, he was just kind of smooth sailing through the middle, but it didn't really seem like he had any close, reliable allies, and those are so, so valuable when you get to the end game. And it seems like that's starting to hurt him, because his name keeps getting brought up here and there. I think he has run out of the out of runway here, and it's, in my opinion, it's now or never for Brendan. He needs to make some kind of move to better his position in the game. He needs to pick up some allies. He needs to disrupt some kind of power. Something needs to happen for Brendan, or I think he will continue to drop in terms of win equity here.
Yeah, completely agree. He's not making moves, and people look at him and they're just like, dude, you're just along for the ride. You're not making anything noticeable. He thinks in his head, he's a key cog in each one of these moves. He's, you know, helping put the divide between people, especially with Spencer. He's, you know, showing him that he's with him and that he's actually going against him. Oh, hit my mic. But in all reality, the guy is really not making anything noticeable go on in this game. And so I think that in his head, he's playing in a fantastic game. He's got allies. He knows who he's against. But to the jury and to other people around the game, they just look at him as a piece to, you know, help them get further in the game and make their moves. And I think you're absolutely right. He needs to make his move now. Otherwise, I just don't see how he gets it done. There's too many big people like Josh, like Muna, like Jacob. Like I can see all these people, Spencer. I see all these people beating him in the end, no problem. And unless he makes a move now, or it takes like a Natalie or maybe even a Marcelo to the end, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, I would not say Spencer would beat him. I think Spencer, I don't think Spencer's winning this game.
Okay, but you say if Spencer wins every single week and gets back into the game every single time, you don't think he's winning?
No.
See, that's where there's a flaw in the game, I feel like.
I don't know. I would,
that's ridiculous.
Me personally, if somebody was voted out every time and they won every battle match, I probably wouldn't vote for them.
To win it?
Yeah. Like, why can't you get people to not vote for you, dude?
I don't know. It's just like, I mean, I guess it's like a Mike Holloway, like the Survivor argument.
Yeah, that's my least favorite season.
I know. I mean, I don't like it too, but if you just keep trying to shoot at somebody, he just does not go down. Like, at that point, you're like we all tried. Like, he beat all of us to the point. But I want to go back on Brendan real quick, because I will say, I think you're selling him just a little short. I think right now there's still a lot of games to be played. And I think that he is positioned, before it was a better position, he's still positioned in a way where he kind of, he's a threat, but he's not the threat. And I think right now, if Brendan can start kind of massing troops, because he's lost a few allies that he really needed, and some people who were his allies, I feel like connected otherwise, he needs to start looking at people on the bottom of the totem pole, like Natalie, group up with them and try find some other people. So that way, when the majority, when another person goes out, he can start shifting it. And then if he can start making some big moves in the last 2-3 rounds, I think people remember Brendan as a threat. We didn't take a shot at him. He amassed his troops, and then he went straight for us at the end. So I still think he has ability to kind of get some more win equity under him, and I'm really curious. But I think his biggest person that will be a hinder for him will be either Marcelo, because he's kind of already talked about him, or Billy, because Billy has a really strong ability for being like, I am loyal to you, and then like, I wish we had a few more edits showing her to be like, no, this is, she said the complete opposite. I'm like, wait, last episode, didn't you say you were totally against them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think he might have a couple more rounds in. I think he might have a little more time. But in terms of like, I think he's going to have to get lucky. Like, or not necessarily get lucky, but, you know, I'd put it like 50-50 odds that like somebody like Brendan is targeted next episode. And then like, it's another coin flip that he's targeted the next episode. Maybe he wins those coin flips and maybe he has those couple of extra weeks, but I think he's in a position now where he is vulnerable. And that's not a great spot to be in, for somebody, especially like Brendan, who gets, you know, can get a little, what? Who, you're saying me?
Yeah.
Like I'm a little bit concerned about like, if Brendan gets on the defensive, is he going to be able to keep his cool? I'm not entirely sure. There are people in the chat that are all over this sort of challenge shake. To be clear, you know, jury management still matters. What I'm saying is that I would not vote for Spencer because he's really bad at the game, in my opinion. He keeps getting himself voted out every time. And these battle matches are very luck based, in my opinion. So, like, for me, there's not a lot there. Somebody like a KRM, you know, who studied the challenges and then was unevictable for a bunch of time, and you know, everybody loves him in the jury. Very different circumstance, right? Somebody like Kevin, like that, like the fact that he needed to win out is more of a like a negative in my jury checklist, right?
I'm just saying, so Shireen played with someone on Survivor that was not really well liked, but battled their way all the way to the end and won. I think it's possible.
I think the jury as it is respects people. They were put in there for, nobody voted for them. Nothing happened. It was just Spencer's a person that put them there. And I feel like there are certain juries that are made of people like, you sent me here, you have my respect. And yes. I think we have certain this jury at the moment is composed of people. Be like, well, who did you send you here? Spencer, who sent you here? Spencer, who sent? Okay, well, who else got us here? Who made us lose the game? It was only because of Spencer. So I think in their heads, they're looking at like, we played as best as we could. The only person who took us out was Spencer. So I
agree
with you.
That's not the read I have on the jury. I'll say that.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say this. These are fans. These are fans of Big Brother and Survivor and other shows. So they've seen how much, you know, slack these Big Brother contestants and Survivor contestants have gotten for, you know, being a bitter jury. And I think that's going to play a part in this. I think they're going to think mm-hmm. about, hey, we don't want to be that bitter jury. We're fans. This is a fan show made for fans. We don't want to be that bitter jury. This guy battled his way to the end. We can't not give it to him. If he's sitting next to someone like Natalie or Marcelo, you're saying he can't win? Like, I think there's got to be more to it.
I think both Natalie and Marcelo played better games than Spencer.
Oh, man.
I mean, I agree. But it's like you have players who are playing like 5-5-5. By 5, it's like your skill, your wits, your competition. And then you have Spencer who's like 3-3-10. You know, the 10 is like all his battle backs. So then it's like... Yeah, I don't know. I think it would be cool. And at this point, I want to see him at the end to see him go against somebody else just to see for the shits and giggles, like, who will they pick?
Yeah. I mean, the thing for me is that, like, again, like these battle matches, there's a lot of luck involved. And, you know, there's less luck involved when it comes to the voting strategies and positioning yourself in the game. So, you know, it's, you know, we'll see if it happens. You know, I'll have you both on for the finale recap to rub it in my face how wrong I was. I'm not going to give you both $100, but. But I feel right just as confident. All right. So I also speaking of, I do think that Natalie and Marcelo are both also decently positioned. I really do. You know, Natalie continues to remind me of this sort of Jess character from the previous season, where she's maintaining a consistent presence. She is she's kind of started in not the best position in the game, not really due to anything, any fault by Natalie. And I think that she has been doing a really good job of maintaining her position and making connections, forging connections with people. In particular, obviously, the one with Jacob, I think, is going to be very, very valuable for her. Now, obviously, she cannot go to the end with Jacob. I don't know if there's any chance that Natalie beats Jacob in the end. But I think that Jacob knows that too. And I feel like Jacob is looking at Natalie like a Steve Moses, perhaps. And I think that Natalie is more of a Steve Moses than a, you know, who's somebody, Victoria. I don't know. I do feel like she has it in her to recognize, hey, I need to flip around and make something happen because I cannot be in the end with Jacob. But if she's able to sort of use him and the position and power that he has in the game right now, then that can really benefit her, I think, moving forward. And again, a key part of this is that nobody really sees the connection between the two of them right now, which means that nobody's going to take a shot at her thinking it's taking a shot at him or weakening him in any way. So I actually really do like where Natalie is positioned right now. It's really she is, I think, better positioned than Brendan. And I think that she has more time ahead of her to make her moves. She needs to be patient and make sure that she's plotting and planning and preparing. And then she needs to make a move. Something needs to happen. But I do think she's still in it with a shot here.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that her biggest flaw is the way that she speaks to people, because I think she's playing a great game. I think there's lots of aspects of her game that are admirable, and I really enjoy watching her. But she's so, you know, very soft-spoken and very non-confrontational that I think people look at that as a weakness, and they look at that as, okay, this is someone who's you know, not really playing hard. They're not as animated, not as loud as other people. So they're looking at that as, okay, well, that's someone we can take to the end, or that's someone that, oh, they're not really playing that hard. And I think that's to her detriment. And I don't even think it's her fault. I just think that's her. That's just her, who she is and how she is as a person. And I think she's playing a good game. I just don't think anyone else is really looking at her as a major threat. Now, down the line, I think she could play a very good game and end up making some big moves that really show her potential. I just feel bad for her because I think that it's how she comes off and that's her personality. And I don't think she thinks about it that way and or means to. And I hate for her because she seems like a lovely person. I think that for the rest of the cast, she's not playing as hard as them in their minds.
I will say.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead, Ori.
No, it's all good.
Well, I will say, for what it's worth, you know, my comparison to Jess, I don't think will necessarily be lost on this cast. Last season, a player who played a somewhat similar game to Natalie to this point, you know, in terms of a little bit kind of solo, a little bit under the radar, a little bit quieter. And she made it to the end and then lost the jury vote is exactly kind of what, you know, Bobby, you're concerned of. But you know, we saw somebody like Spencer in this game this season go, Jess was robbed. Jess deserved it. It was not the most uncontroversial jury decision. And I think that anyone who's playing this game, you know, has the ability or you know, has seen that season and probably has their own opinion on the Jess versus Hunter sort of debate. And I think that will give her more of a standing point, right? Like a jumping off point to be like, hey, you know, just cause you didn't see it doesn't mean it's not there. Remember last season?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think, you know, it's interesting, Natalie, to Bobby, to your point where you said Natalie, her, you know, her quietness might hurt her in this type of cast. I actually wish we had a few more Natalies on this cast because we have so many players who are so on, I guess is the best way to put it. Like they're just really like, they're 120% themselves. And that's not to say Natalie's 120% herself, but her is just a little more soothing water versus everyone's fire. And I really thought it came out on top when we saw her confrontation with her and Billy, where I really wanted this Natalie just be like, Billy, you lied to me. Like, there's no reason I should be feeling bad about this. And Billy's like, But we saw in the diary room, Billy came out of it saying, like, I need to still work on her. I realized that, you know, I kind of broke her trust. I need to work on it. So Natalie's approach kind of worked for people feeling that she's on their side. My only concern, I guess, to your point is that will the jury vote for her at the end? And I think if she can make one or two moves and then kind of sell the argument that, hey, I didn't have any pre-existing relationships coming into this game. There was a certain game that I was made to play because I had no connections. I had to make connections, lay low, and make a strike at the end. And I think some people will view that as a really good strategy. So, yeah, I do hope. But the only worry I do hope or worry I see is that she might be dragged in one of these matches as a quote-unquote easy win against somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we have Billy. Billy and Marcelo, Marcelo, I wish I could say more about it. I just still don't exactly know. He seems to trust Josh, but then he realized that Josh might have an LOS. So I'm not sure where that stands. I think he's still working with Jacob. I just, you know, Marcelo is just one of the few people in the season that I feel like, just edit wise, I just don't know. I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I've said this every week.
Yeah.
I don't know about Marcelo much, and I don't know if it's like he's like one view might be like maybe he just isn't doing enough, or another view might be he's the little finger of the season where he's doing everything behind the scenes and no one really, you know, sees it. So he could be an incredible player, but I just don't know it yet. I do wish there's certain scenes when they show him speaking of a lot of things he knows. So I wish he kind of kept some things closer to his chest. That way he doesn't have to, somebody can't link it, be like Marcelo was the one who is told me to target you, you know. But yeah, I think he goes far in the game because I think we would see some more stuff. And I'm hoping that we hear a little bit more about myself so I can talk a better case for him. Mm-hmm.
In every single episode this season, there's been a point in the episode where I'm like, wait, isn't Marcelo still in the game right now? Like, where is he? And then all of a sudden they'll cut to him. It's happened every single episode. I'm just like, yeah. I don't know if it's the editors doing this to be funny or to, you know, pick on him a little, but man, the poor guy cannot get like a power move edit at all. There's, you know, aspects where you see the relationship with Jacob. There's parts that to be loved for Marcelo and see what he's trying to do. but they're really not piecing it together for him. There's too many other loud, boisterous people in this house that mm-hmm. are really trying to be confrontational, that for him and, say, a Natalie that aren't confrontational, there's just not a lot of meat on the bone in their edits. So I still think he has a chance. I think everyone in this house has a chance, even Spencer, Taryn, even Spencer. But I think that there's just not a lot there that we're seeing, but it doesn't mean they're not seeing it in the house.
Yeah. And then Billy. Billy is definitely interesting to me. Billy's kind of the wild card pick, where I feel like she has been a lot of fun. But it's been a little bit like hot and cold as to like I feel like sometimes she has really good episodes. Sometimes, you know, she gets into fights with Brent. And I'm not really sure where it's going to go. You know, she, a big thing that she, yeah, there's the, I feel like she's becoming a meme here with the loyalty talk. Loyalty is very important in a game like this, in any kind of social strategy game. But I think talking about loyalty too much is not something that people tend to enjoy, both in the game and from an audience standpoint. So I think that I just don't really know. I think a jury would vote for Billy. I think they all like Billy a lot. I think she's very well liked. And I think that she is definitely capable of playing really well. I just don't know what her path is right now. She seems kind of like stuck in this middle ground between Muna and Josh, and like where does she fit within there? She's still very present. I just don't know where she goes from here. I feel like there's a lot of stuff that is still. I felt like the game was supposed to start this episode, and instead it kind of like lagged. It kind of like doubled back and was like, no, Brent, you gotta leave first. And now we're like, okay, maybe now it's gonna move forward, and maybe then I'll know where Billy fits in with this.
I really, really believe that we saw what's going to happen in this episode with her and Natalie at 6 going to battle it out somehow, because the fact that both of them brought that up and it was both in the edit, I think there's something in there. I think they're teasing something there where they're going to target each other and one of them's going to go home. That to me was like the writing on the wall is we're going to get some kind of confrontation or some kind of battle match between the two coming forward into this game. Now, as far as Billy, I really think that Billy's been playing a great game. You know, she's well, you just said it right there, Taryn. She's loved on the jury. She's loved in the game. She's really not offended too many people in any way, but she can be confrontational. And that's what we love about Billy. That's what makes her an exciting player to watch, very entertaining player to watch. But is she going to get to the point where she does it with someone that's on her side or someone that's wanting to work with her and completely backfire on her? I'm afraid that she's going to really get her loyalty tested and go crazy and mad at someone. And I think that's when it's all going to blow up. I want to see her go far. I would love to see her in the final two. I just question how she gets there, because she's in the middle. She's going to have to take a side somewhere.
I think my biggest concern for Billy is that she kind of showed her cards a little bit to Jacob in the previous episode, and she seemed to get away with it when she was like, "You think you can't trust me?" But like, how long is that going to last? It feels like there's potentially something brewing there, and if I'm Jacob and you know I want to lock Muna in, you know, letting somebody like Billy go, especially if she's conflicting with Natalie, who is my kind of ace in the hole, I can kind of see Jacob deciding that Billy might be a good next target for him. And I wouldn't even disagree with it too much.
Yeah, no, I think Jacob kind of wrote out the path for him is to keep Muna on his side. He needs to get Billy out. And you know, I think Billy, I appreciate Billy talking in one of her confessionals talking about how she like separates the game versus the player, and like, you know, when she was talking about Brent, she's like, I think Brent's a great person, you know, but in the game I need him out. And that's like the way I feel right now about Billy, is I think she got herself kind of game wise, she's doing great. I think she's done really well so far, but she got I call it the Enzo pickle, when Enzo, we loved Enzo, he's amazing, he's great, but when he talks about big moves for the whole game and then we see no big moves from him at all, where we would probably not care if he didn't say, I'm gonna make some big moves, yo, and Taren, you can do the great impression. But I worry that the jury might look at that in the same way where Billy talks about loyalty, because there's gonna be a point where people start comparing notes and realize Billy might have not been as loyal as they said they were, she was. And so when she bases her whole game based on I'm loyal, that might come back to bite her, because you can be only so loyal for so long. And when you compare past notes, her being the killer, all these types of things, people are going to like, wait, she wasn't loyal. This was her game. I'm upset at her now because she's been telling me that. So I think that's my only worry for Billy going to line.
That's definitely true. I think that Billy has a rock solid case to win in the end. She has a lot of friends on the jury. She has a lot of people that like and respect her. And she has those bombs to drop, like, hey, I was the killer. Like, I was playing harder than you probably thought. Mm-hmm. But I do think that it's a very good point that you can't undermine all of that by being very conflicted in your message by saying, like, hey, I was a loyal player to the end, and I tricked you all and was playing a lot harder than you thought. That could get her into some trouble if she's against somebody that's already difficult to beat. Like if she's up against like Jacob or Amuna, who already have a really good shot against her, or even, you know, I don't know who else would be a challenge for her in the end, as I try to think about it and continue to stall. And I'm not sure that there would be another big challenge for her in the end. I don't know. But, somebody who would have an outside chance to beat her, I think could find a weakness in the armor if she decides to go down that route. But I don't think she will, to be honest. I think that I think she knows what she's doing. I feel like she'll recognize what she needs to do in the moment. I think that right now she probably sees that what she needs to do is, hey, allies, I'm loyal, don't forget. And then in the end be like, well, of course I said that. What was I supposed to say?
Yeah,
that's all you need to do in the end, I think. It's just the Andy Heron. All right, so... that's everyone, I think, right? I don't know, I'm forgetting anyone. Except for, of course, Brent, who is going to be exiting this episode. I kind of took this podcast to be more of a like recap of where we are with all the players than an actual recap of what happened in the round, because there was more happening in the round. And so let's talk about Brent here. Let's get to the old cut of this meet. In the episode, Brent, who has been on a rocky ride here this season, I think, you know, a lot of people were interested in, you know, how Brent would do. I think Brent has always said that if he went on Big Brother, he would be entertaining for a couple of weeks, and then we would not see him anymore. And I always agreed with him. And I feel like we were both pretty good. Look, we're good at our jobs. We know we're good at predicting things.
I love Brent. Sorry, Obi. I love Brent. I thought he played a great game. You know, it was very similar to our Rahat Mini that we all played. And he didn't expect to go far. He kept bringing it up all game. He's like, hey, listen, no one's going to keep me around. But you know what, guys? I just want to have fun. I don't expect to win. Like, I'm lucky if I'm not the first one voted out. And we saw that in this game that he played, where he's just like, you know what? I'm just here for, you know, the audience, to bring people in, to give, you know, light to this. Yeah, they kind of like made it look a little cheesy, but I still think the message was secure. That message was profound, because he did bring people in. I saw them say in the chat, hey, say yes or something if Brent brought you to Sequester, and there were so many yeses. So he did what he was there to do, and I love Brent for that. He's a great guy, one of my good friends, and I'm happy he finally got to put his money where his mouth is, because for as much crap as he'll give Big Brother players, Survivor players, he finally was able to go in there and play his game. And I think he played it to his full potential.
I'm just imagining now, like I was sitting there watching Brent's speech. I think my face was something like, and I'm also, and now I'm imagining Bobby watching Brent's speech with like a tear running down his eye. Just like, profound. This is profound and beautiful.
I may have text Brent in that moment being like, no.
Hate him, love him, Brent at his purest is just entertainment, you know? And I think he brought that to Sequester. And I to his credit, I think he played really well in the parts he did. He doesn't forget to mention it, but he is one of the oldest cast members on this season. He talks about a lot of different things that, but like he performed, and when his back was against the wall, it was really fun to watch him scramble. And he didn't care about throwing somebody here and there, and he knew how the game works too. So you got to see this person who mixed his strategy versus his own personality together to make just a really fun thing to watch. And I know a lot of people, I tuned in to watch Brent. I knew some other Big Brother players who wanted to tune in to see how he would do too. Like it's fun to see, you know, again, what you said, Bobby, you know, put his, you know, money where his where his money was. I forget the phrase exactly.
I'm put blanking. His mouth where but his money is.
Mouth where his money is.
No, I just,
but I also
no,
think
don't.
He did that.
I did it wrong on purpose.
You did it wrong,
and you ran with it.
I ran with it still, but I think he did just that, and I give him a lot of props for that. And I think it's going to give different perception to for him when he does commentate on different reality shows down the line. But also, I give his respect back because he, you know, he's taking it because you don't just play the game inside, and also you have the social media. You have to deal with people talking about your name, things like that. So I'm just glad Brent went through, and I really enjoyed, which I didn't know I would say, but I really enjoyed watching Brent play Sequester. Like, it was really fun for me. And I think some people might not want to admit it, but I think we would have missed him a lot if he wasn't on the season. He brought a lot of cool things to it, both strategically. You know, I never thought I'd go on. I knew I was going to go on a Tarrant rant and like a Rob rant, but I never thought I'd go on a Brent rant on RHAP. But here it is. So I really enjoyed Brent. There it is.
And Taryn, let me ask you this. At the beginning of the season, if they would have had the, oh my gosh, what is it? The where you guys do the money on Big Brother season, where you bet or place money on people.
Stock
totally
watch.
Blanking. Thank you, Stockwatch. That totally went out of my head for a second. If you did a Stockwatch on Sequester, would you have put any money on Brent to start the season? My buddy Doug wanted me to ask you this.
Of course not. What do you... I do well so. In the Stockwatch, so. Bobby. Brent would have put money on Brent in the Stockwatch. yeah, Brent definitely was interesting to watch. I think he was never dull in the season. I think that's probably never. One of the highest compliments that he would take. He was probably the most entertaining part of this episode. When he made that speech. And I was just talking about this the other week that, like, apparently when you get voted out, you just go into speech mode. He went into speech mode. This was like full on. I don't know where was the bandana? Where was the, you know, he had the red shirt on, right? It was the red LFC shirt. Like he was, or no, Dan wore black. Dan wore black to his funeral. Yeah. That's the problem. But man, was he ready to go with a speech about how he came to this game. He wanted to look, yeah, you know, and Brent, he's got a big spotlight over him. He's got a lot of people that they love him or they love to hate him. And he wanted to bring the spotlight to this, this tiny little game with these tiny little people. He wanted to elevate it. He wanted to bring some eyes. He wanted to show people, hey, this is fun, right? Right, guys? And he really, really just appreciates that everyone else in the game, they were, they were cast as supporting roles. Some of them are extras in his journey, in his story. And he appreciates the role that they had. He's come to really love each and every one of them. And he thinks the audience will probably appreciate them a little bit as well on his journey here. Like, I know exactly what Brent is trying to say here.
Yes.
No,
but
it was so funny.
It's like, I don't know that I could make it worse if I tried. Like, I'm trying, and it's pretty close.
And the editing was just bashing him the whole time, cutting to people, like, going, what?
I hope y'all are reading these comments, because I'm really loving them. Brent Easling, speech mode cowboy, is probably my favorite thing. I really hope Brent puts that in his bio for, like, a day or two. Speech mode cowboy.
Oh, I'm loving it.
It's so funny. And it's like, I loved how Sequester went and ran with it, put the music. You see everyone's like reactions. And Jacob's like, why the hell are we giving this man a standing ovation? Like, like it was funny. And to his credit, Brent was, he was roasting himself on his own social media. So I don't feel bad saying any of this.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was enough there that they did applaud at the end, right? Like, that was better than his previous speech where he got crickets, right?
It would have been better if they just stared. I think it was so funny if they just ended like it, just like no one. Brent, like, okay.
It was to and me. It was especially that he went to like the Dan Gieseling portion of the funeral where he goes to each individual person.
Oh yeah.
And he makes like each one of them cry. And so Brent goes and he names each person. And they're just like,
Brendan, I love you. Brendan, like, what the hell? Like.
Bro, I'm crying right now. I can't. Like, that moment,
and we cannot forget the moment where Spencer has his hand out, and Brent is just like,
you know, I forgot to ask Brent. He's in the chat. Brent, did you do that on purpose, or did you just not see him that whole time? Because I was just like, I was so uncomfortable.
He says no at a certain point. He says, like, no as they're walking up. Like, he knew what he was doing. Like, he knew that was there. But it was great. It was perfect TV for that moment, too.
Brent says in the chat, the short version of his speech was, I have more followers than you, and now you have a few more followers because of me.
Oh, he's saying he did not see him. I was thinking about my speech. I thought Spencer just wanted to talk when he tapped me. Oh, okay, that's why.
It was just like
that made the whole episode. Honestly, those two parts, that Spencer fist bump and then that Brent speech.
Ovi, give me the fist bump. No, other side. You gotta go up, go up. There it is. Boom.
Oh.
Hey, Ovi would never do that, Brent.
I would have thought the heat on me. Like, if I think it'd be funny if Brent noticed it and didn't want to do it. Just like, Spencer kept it on there for so long. Like, prop to Spencer, I would have had to retract and be like, all right. But Spencer's just like,
yeah, he kept. I mean, that
keeps it out.
That's exactly Spencer, right? Though, like,
yeah,
like, he will keep trying the same thing over and over. It's even when it doesn't work.
Well, he knows he's not going to give it up because now people are watching. If he just gives it up, then he's going to be like, oh, my God, that was so embarrassing. But it just never came regardless. It just never came.
I would have, like, after 5 seconds, I would have been like, mm-hmm. Like, I would have done one of those, you know, like.
I would have bumped myself.
Yeah.
But, like, I felt so bad for him, too. And it's been the greatest gif or meme, on the last, like, 24 hours. That's been the best meme on the internet on Twitter is the things they've been coming up with, the fist bumping. It's been fantastic.
Yeah, Adam in the chat says, first time Brent didn't touch hands. Yeah, I was shy. I was like, I was expecting Brent to be like, oh, hey, good fist.
I can't. It's too good. And I love Brent. Honestly, Brent, he's been one of the nicest guys, especially just welcoming me, you too, Terry, welcoming to the community that I've been in for the last basically 2 years. And I can't say enough good things about it. You know, Terry, you can admit to this too. Brent gets a lot of slack online. Now, a lot of it he deserves. I'm not saying he doesn't, but genuinely, he is a very, very good person. So I'm happy he got this opportunity, and I'm very happy that, you know, he got to go further than he even thought he would. So that's what I can say. And he played a great game. Everyone was against him, but he played a good game.
And yeah, and he got to kiss Spencer. Yeah.
He had a whole journey.
Yeah, he had a full journey on this game.
Full journey.
Yeah. All right. Well, we get to the battle match. It is going to be, of course, the most physical one we've seen so far. Not overly physical, but definitely, you know, in terms of Sequester, this is, at least this season, it's the most physical. I feel like there were a few more physical challenges in past seasons, but this one is that they have to, like, untangle a rope and then use the rope to pull little lanes, little you know wooden 2x4s. I don't know what they were.
Yeah.
I don't. And again, I love. I think the team has done wonderful this season. The editing, everything has been really cool, on point. But I just think we need something a little bit more in some of these competitions, these battle matches. I know they're limited for what they can do, but I think this one was just one of those where I was like, oh, just give me a little bit more. There needs to be another element. Like, I just wish there's a puzzle at the end, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, something to give them, like, an opportunity. If someone does really well in the physical component, then they have some sort of puzzle they have to do, just something small, you know? And I love some of the competitions. I think they've had that puzzle component, but I think this one, it would have helped to have it.
On top of all the things that could go wrong for Brent in this episode that just really screwed him, it's a physical competition against the best male physical beast in the house. Like, this is just literally, it's like they're trying to get rid of Brent, because it was like one thing after another of just nothing he could do, all backfiring in his face. And it's kind of poetic justice for how many times he's just like, you know, they're gender neutral competitions, and then he gets a physical competition against this guy. Like it was just perfect. It was just played out perfect.
Yeah, and I'll probably sound like a broken record, but I again felt like the ending of the challenge just felt off to me. You can see it on the stream where I was watching live. I was just like, oh, is that the end? Is it over?
Yeah.
Is that it? I think it might be over. Oh yeah, it's over. Okay. Like that, and I feel like that happens a lot.
yeah, it does.
I feel like we should know. We should know what the crux point of the competition is, and we should know when it's over. And I think that you know, I part of it is perhaps that, like, I thought the puzzle, the first battle match was the best competition so far. Very visual, looked really, really great. And it was very easy to see, like, what the turning point was and what the kind of progress was being made throughout the competition. But Brent apparently did come kind of close here to taking this, because Spencer took so much time on the ropes. But the worst part,
which is most typical Spencer thing, you could think of.
Yeah, Brent. Yeah. Brent really, really dropped the ball in the end. He really choked it when he threw the rope and it left his hands and he fell off the board. And he ran back to the beginning before grabbing the rope and pulling it back to the board. Yeah. So by the time he runs all the way back to where he was, the rope is still where it was. He can't reach it, so he has to get off of the board again to reset the rope and then run back over again. It was not great. I also felt like there should have been more of a consequence for falling off in the first place, because I feel like that would have been a little more interesting, maybe. But there it is. Spencer is going to win again. Spencer is going to continue to remain in the game. For me, basically, what I expect to happen is that they're going to keep voting Spencer out until they realize, all right, we'll just keep, he's not going to win this thing, so might as well just work with what we've got. But I just, like, I just don't know where he goes from here. I don't know what happens with Spencer at this point. But here it is. We're gonna move forward. And I still have hope. I still feel like, again, sequester every passing moment is an opportunity to turn it all around. So let's see.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, give me this, guys. I want to hear it. There's 8 people left, right? So who are your top 4 to win? Who do you guys think are your top 4 that have the best chance to win?
Well, I said I'm going to go with Jacob, Muna, Josh, and I would say my fourth.
But Spencer? Did I hear Spencer?
No. No, not that one.
Spencer. Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, I don't think I said the Spencer word. I think I would go with Billy. I think Billy might be my fourth pick.
Billy.
Yeah.
How about you, Obi?
I'm thinking. I think Jacob's up there. Jacob. See, here's the thing. I want to say Muna, but I feel like they know they cut her. That's my threat level is so strong. But I want to say Jacob, Muna. I'm going to put Spencer up there. I know y'all are saying, but I think at his level, either he's going to win out or they're just not going to touch him. And I think there's going to be an interesting thing if he makes there against who he is. And I'm going to put, I can see him going really far, Marcelo. I think he has I think he might be a sleeper agent. I want to say Billy, but I think Billy's going to get cut by Natalie, or if Natalie makes it, I don't know if she wins it. So those are the reasons I'm not saying either of those two.
Yeah, I got Muna, Josh, Jacob, Spencer. Those are my four. I think any four of those could absolutely win.
All right.
Even though Spencer, Taryn absolutely disagrees with me about Spencer. We should place a bet. Let's go. I think he has a shot if he gets there.
What are the terms and conditions of this? I got to set these ahead of time so I'm not shamed into overpaying.
I don't know what I can offer you. I have a child, but that's about it. No, I'm just kidding.
Your firstborn, that definitely is up my alley.
No, right? That's what you have going for you. I don't know. We can bet something, but I definitely think that if he gets there, I think he has a chance to win. So, like, what would the bet be?
Are you betting that if he's in the final two?
I'm just saying it's going to be really hard for him to get there. I'm not doubting that. I'm saying you're saying he has zero chance to win against anybody.
You can have an out of, like, oh, he didn't make it there, so I guess I wasn't wrong.
Can I say this? Fine. If he gets to the final two, and he could be against anyone, I say that he wins. And you say that he doesn't win.
Yeah, I think he would win.
But what happens if he doesn't? I don't think he's even going to make it, to be honest.
So then you win if he doesn't win.
If
he's in the final two, I say he wins against anybody, right, and you say he doesn't.
You keep confusing me. We'll work out the terms on Twitter. In the proper venue on Twitter.
Okay, all right. We'll figure this out. Give us some opinions.
Yeah, tell us what the terms should be.
I'll put that bet. If Bobby ends up not wanting to take that bet, I will say if Spencer makes it to the end, he wins. I'll put that bet out there.
Team up.
Okay. We can team up. We can do $50, all right? Or we'll split the 50, and if you win, you get the 50.
I'm on paternity leave. It's everything I have, but I'm all in. Okay? I'm not getting any money from work right now. I'm all in.
All right. Now Spencer needs to win so we can pay Bobby.
God, now I wanted to get there so bad. I want to just see it. I want to see this bet actually work out.
All right. I think that's what we have here today. Anything else that you guys wanted to talk about?
Obi?
This is fun. I really enjoy Sequester. I love the community it's built. And I think it's really cool that we're just like commentating on a fan built game that's grown so much. And I hopefully just continues to level up. And again, I know some people were disappointed with this episode and whatnot, but I think that's a cool thing about Sequester. It can change up every single episode. There's really no aligned steamroll within this game, other than kicking Spencer out every single episode. But other than that, I think I'm excited for this next episode. I'm just happy to be here. So I appreciate you, Bobby and Taryn, having me on tonight. And if you all ever want me again tonight, especially when we win our bet, Bobby, I think I have to be back on.
Absolutely. I agree with you. Yeah. No,
I did say that the reward would be you guys come back on the finale and rub it in my face. I forgot about that. That's a pretty good bet.
There you go. I agree with you, Ovi. I think that this has been a fantastic season. I've been very excited, hyped to watch this. And honestly, it really is something that we can all cherish right now. It's such a downtime in our world. Like, this is something that really has brought the community back together. We have no Big Brother. We have no Survivor. We have nothing really else out there. So to have something like this that Audrey put out there for us, it's just been fantastic. The Rat Minis during quarantine were fantastic as well. So this is something that's really brought us all together. And we can only say thank you. As much as we have problems with things here or there, this is something that we get to look forward to each week. So, and this episode might have been a slow one, but guess what? We've had a lot of great episodes and we have a lot more to come and a lot of great people playing. So there's only good things from here, and I'm excited about the season.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you this week. We will be back next week, Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, as always. Recap next week's episode, Sequester Season 4, Episode 6. We'll see what happens. I will also, of course, be live on Twitch on Sunday night to watch the episode. You'll get my reactions as it happens. We also play some Among Us prior to that. That's always fun as I murder people sometimes and then lie about it.
I want to get in on that one day. Now I'm on paternity leave. I can play.
There you go. I did do an interview with Brent. You probably can anticipate that that was quite long, so I'm not going to tack it to the end of this podcast. But you can stay tuned. Stay subscribed to the feed. We'll try to get it up on YouTube as well. It was like 50 minutes long. So, you know, if you want to hear Brent, if you want to hear Brent talk about his experience, if you want to, hear me, roasting him dryly, then, stay tuned, listen to it, watch it, make it happen. Ovi, what are you up to? Where can people find you?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at the Ovi Kabir and on Instagram, Ovi Kabir. So if you guys, I always try to respond to any DMs or like replies, and I always love talking about sequesters. So send me some things like that, and I'd love to talk to y'all more on that.
All right. Bobby.
Yeah, you can find me at Goodsweet Bobby on Twitter. I wanted to put this out there. I've been saying it for a while. I was going to start a Twitch channel, but now that I have 3 months in my hands, I'm finally going to get to it and actually put something out there. I'm not sure exactly the content yet. It might be a lot of, you know, DFS, DraftKings, and sports talk, but then we're also going to talk Big Brother, Survivor, all that. And then also my one of my first things I know I'm going to get into is my mom was actually on an episode of TLC. She was on Dr. Pimple Popper. She was a patron on that show. She was on an episode. They loved her so much. They brought her back for a Where Are They Now? So I'm going to be doing an interview with her, a little Q&A about her experience on the show. And maybe I can work with Rob and you, Taryn, and maybe get it on the podcast somehow. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting, especially in this slow time. It'll be something to look forward to.
All right. Very, very exciting. Ovi, can we follow your dog on social media?
Oh, yeah, you can. I'm sorry. He's just whining this whole time. He's a big fan of you, Taryn, and both of you, Bobby. So just
I'm a big fan of him.
Yeah.
You can find him, his nicest self, on Instagram at Mowgli the Corgi. please don't body shame him, though. He's gained a little bit weight over quarantine. He's working on it. We're hitting the gym, aren't we? But if you guys want to put some kind comments because he needs some self-esteem booster, you can go on his Instagram and find him there.
Yeah, my cat's trying to get swole, too.
Yeah, it's bulking season. It's for both of us. That's what we like to say.
Yeah.
Same with my baby.
Yes. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. I had a lot of fun. I hope you guys did as well. And see you next time. Sequester, of all the podcasts, this one here is the best.